for you then.
Prolific rainfall totals
here for you now.
Thanks, guys.
It only takes one storm.
The Hurricane Information Station.
Stay alert.
We get storms in October.
Sky Storm Watch for Radiant Credit Union.
There's more time.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Hunker on down, folks. We're keeping an eye on Hurricane Milton. Now, a high Cat 4, 155 mile an hour sustained winds, moving northeast at 16 miles an hour. Approximate location to hit, make landfall, Sarasota County. Again, ballpark figure, could fluctuate, but around 2 or 3 a.m., it looks like, Thursday morning, late tonight, but really it should be Thursday morning. We'll feel the effects clearly before that on the coast about 2 p.m. today, and then inland 5, 6, 7, 8, depending on how far inland you are. But right now, I want to touch base with our Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson. Good morning, Commissioner. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. Doing as good as we can be for under the conditions.
All right. Silly city boy question for you. What do you do with, like, the cows and the bulls? What do you do when you're going to have these possible sustained winds at this level? And I know that's going to cut across cattle grazing areas.
It absolutely is. Well, if you're, depending on what type of agriculture, and if you're in, obviously, with cattle, you're more concerned about your fences, with trees around your fences coming down and letting your cattle out. Most of those cattle will stay free roaming during this period. Some do have barns. Dairy cattle will have some of theirs in barns and some free willing. The threat is, of course, if your barn collapses on your cattle, that's even worse. And so as soon as this storm passes, when you get back down to a safe wind level, the first thing we'll do is ride those fence lines and repair any of those fences that we can. And of course, with all the storms we've had the last handful of years, we've got a lot of that area cleared. But agriculture is going to take another major hit here, just as we're recovering from Ian a few years ago. Mm-hmm. This path is going to be similar enough to where between the flooding and the wind, it's going to leave a big mark. You know, our strawberries in Hillsborough County area are getting ready to plant or being planted. And, you know, depending on the amount of rain we get, we might have to start over there. And, you know, that's $1 billion a year industry right there in Hillsborough County. And so we've got a lot of challenges around the state. The Big Bend's been hit three times in the last 13 months, as you know. Helene, we've almost quit talking about Helene. It just hit, you know, a week and a half or so ago. And here we are now, phase one here hitting the Sarasota area. There's, you know, dairies in that area. There's a lot of strawberries just north of there. And the rain event, of course, is going to be north of the storm. If you're watching everything, the flooding and a lot of that rain is going to be north of where the storm hits. Of course, the coastal flooding is going to be south of wherever the storm hits. And again, what you said earlier is right? It's targeting close to Sarasota now, but it could wobble 20 miles north or south very easily. So this is just one we're going to have to watch all the way to the end.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you brought it up already a little bit, but we're getting reports that several rivers in the state are already rising, and we haven't really had this huge influx even hit yet.
That is exactly right. I mean, the Withlacoochee River here, close to where I live in Pasco County, is already out of its banks. And if you get 6 more inches of rain, maybe we, you know, it's obviously extreme flooding, but if you get 18 inches of rain, it's going to be historic flooding. I mean, well over a 500-year flood. And obviously that's affecting a lot more than agriculture. We are obviously working in many areas. Your Department of Agriculture, we brought in 12 million gallons of gasoline in the last few days. We've got more coming. The Port of Tampa may be shut down for several days, maybe a week or so. It may have extensive damage. We don't know yet. So that's where about 3 million gallons a day come through into our state. So we're dealing with fuel issues. We will be helping deal with the search and rescue as soon as the storm has passed. The department will. And so we are dealing with many aspects of this storm. We were helping with the debris cleanup. Governor Santos mobilized our DOT and DMS. Kevin Guthrie and his team mobilized around the Tampa Bay area to get all this Helene area cleaned up, because we've got debris all over the banks and the shores still around Hillsborough and Pinellas County. and now you're about to have a storm come through and scatter it. So you're going to have refrigerators and couches and everything all over the place. And it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be objects now. It's going to be floating into people's houses or other areas and businesses. And so we've done your state fair. We'll talk about that, you know, come February. But our fairgrounds now is being used basically as a dump site and a staging site. We have hundreds of linemen there stage. We've got fuel stage there. We've got over 400 head of horses that are staged there, you know, from the affected area here. And so it's all hands on deck, and we've got a lot of things going on. What I would tell anyone that is listening or has family that's, you know, in that affected area, if you're in one of those zones, A, B, or C, please leave those areas. You still have a few hours, to get out of there. And if you choose not to, as we've said many times, you know, take a permanent marker, write your name on your forearm, maybe a social security number or something, so we can identify you. This is going to be a horrific storm of epic proportion, and where it hits is going to, not only where it hits, but where that storm surge comes in. This is going to be much worse than Helene.
Yeah.
So please evacuate.
The mayor of Tampa, Castor, she was very direct in her language, too, about warning people that decided not to leave. The good news is, as we monitor traffic moving northbound on I-75, it is not nearly as hectic or as slow as it was yesterday. That's good news, and that probably gives us the idea that maybe most of the people heeded the warnings, got out. But like you said, if people are late in going, they still have a pretty good clear path if they leave soon. You mentioned gasoline. Let me ask you this. So we get a lot of gas from the Port of Tampa, also Fort Lauderdale and Jacksonville. If the Port of Tampa is closed, is there a mechanism that or overlap where the Fort Lauderdale and the Jacksonville folks can help fill those needs while the Port of Tampa is shut down?
That's exactly what we're doing, Bob. Right now we have trucks that are we've got trucks, hundreds of trucks stationed in and around the Hillsborough, Pinellas, Central Florida type area, that are not only filling those gas stations up, but yes, we will have extra fuel coming into those other ports around the state, and we will have trucks shipping it from as far away of Texas coming into the state, and a minimum of 3 million gallons a day just for normal operations. So it is a massive undertaking to make sure that we have ample fuel. That's one of the big jobs of the Department of Agriculture. We are working, obviously, with DMS and the governor's team. And but yeah, and then it's got to be safe, right, in those areas where it's been flooding.
Well, yeah,
as soon as the wind goes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, look, how late will they do deliveries? In other words, what's the cutoff protocol for them to say, hey, we're not going to deliver gas past this point, and then the protocol to when they can again after the storm?
Well, the beforehand, they cut it off on Monday, early Monday, so it's been cut off for a few days because they're trying to make sure they save the port. Those tanks had to be full of fuel before, so they don't get destroyed themselves, the port itself. And so they've shut that down. So the Port of Tampa is shut down. It will come back on, what we hope, is within 24 to 48 hours after the storm passes. Our inspectors will go in and inspect to make sure there's no contamination, water contamination. Well, they'll also be checking all of those fueling stations that are where flood-prone areas are to make sure there's been no contamination. So our teams will start doing that immediately following the storm, and we will get the Port of Tampa back up. We hope, and hope is never a strategy, but we've got to, 24 to 48 hours later, we'll have that back up and running. But that will only be determined by how much damage is to it.
Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, always a ton of information and insight, and we always appreciate it, sir. And I hope you and your family ride this out safely.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Take care. We'll give you the latest updates on Milton and the big headlines. We've got you covered here on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It is 9:21. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning and happy hump day, Trump day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here as well. Morning, Greg.
It is so far.
Yep. The wind speeds have come down a little bit from earlier this morning. So we're looking at Hurricane Milton a strong Cat 4 at this point, with sustained winds of 155 miles an hour. The storm has sped up in terms of northeasterly movement. Originally, early this morning, it was 12 miles an hour, then 14. Now it was upgraded 2 hours ago, I believe, or I guess it would be three now, to 16 miles an hour. We're still looking at possibly Sarasota County, again, ballpark, and hitting around 2 a.m. Again, that's a bit of a ballpark, too. Now, if you're wondering, all right, well, when are we going to feel it? When are we going to start to feel it? Well, the folks on the Gulf Coast should feel some storm-level wind, more than a breeze, by about 2 this afternoon. And then, you know, the further you are inland, so, you know, more toward the middle of the state, you'll start to feel that 6, 7, 8 o'clock. All right? And then, you know, things could get nasty. And the way that the commissioner, the Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson, kind of broke it down, you know, more surge to the south, more rainfall and flooding to the north. Does that make sense? Surge to the south. So anybody on the coast, that's going to be really tough on those folks. So if it comes in Sarasota County, you got Sarasota Bay there. You got the Myakka River south of there. You've got Charlotte Harbor, Peace River, a lot of low-lying property, and much more populated than it was back in the day when I lived there. So, yeah, these are vulnerable areas. And then, of course, the flooding, which if you live near rivers and streams that are prone to flooding, you better be extra careful and aware this time around, for sure. All right, so I think we got our bases covered there for now. I didn't get a number from the Ag Commissioner. The last I heard, it was about 17% of service stations in Florida out of fuel. He explained that Tampa, the Port of Tampa, is shut down, and so they won't be sending any fuel out of there until probably at least 24, if not 48 hours after the storm has passed through. In the meantime, they'll try to cover as much as they can from the Fort Lauderdale port and from the Jacksonville port. But, of course, they also have to take care of their kind of regular areas they service, too. So,
well, that's an interesting thing, too. People don't always think about. You've got to keep the tanks there at the port. Things have to stay full so they don't get damaged, because basically you've got that inside pressure.
Yes.
And you're trying to keep those tanks from being damaged externally. Just those little things you don't think about.
Yeah, and you don't want to get, water in the fuel. That's not a good mix.
No, it's not.
Oh, Keith Olbermann. Yeah, he's a far-left wacko bozo. Used to be a good, sports anchor back in the day. But
what happened to him?
Man. I don't know. He went to the Karl Marx School of numbskull. He's got his PhD in
with honors.
Numbskullonian.
Yeah. He graduated with honors. No doubt.
Anyway, he wants to kick out Elon Musk. He wants to cancel all the contracts with Tesla and SpaceX and put X out of business, turn it all off, and send him packing. And I mean, he said, get the blank out of our country.
So we're going to shut down what is the number one electric car in the company that employs a whole bunch of people that build them, take them around, work on them. And we need to come up with somebody else who can rescue astronauts.
Let's get rid of one of the immigrants that actually can help America.
Yes.
While Olbermann continues to vote for people who want to let in rapists, murderers, fentanyl sellers, human smugglers, all them in, and kick out Elon Musk, because Elon's evil. You know what he does? He utilizes this gift that we've been given called free speech. Ooh. And you're going to see a further and further clampdown on freedom of speech. Now, they'll disguise it as all kinds of things. They'll tell you that they're the government and they're there to help. And they're going to try to stop this spread of what they call disinformation, which basically means anything that disagrees with their official policy, their official party line, governmental line. Extremely dangerous, completely un-American. John Kerry sent a chill up my back with what he said, a week and a half ago, about free speech gets in the way of running a democracy.
Isn't that kind of why we, maybe left England? Part of that reason,
Yeah.
Your government overreach control.
Yeah, the king can knock your door down and, you know, not be very kind to its subjects. We're not subjects. It's a government for and by and of the people. And the cornerstone of that is free speech. Anybody who wants to eliminate free speech is an enemy of America and an enemy of freedom. Let there be no doubt about it. That is the way it is. So, yeah, you've got these kooks. But if you think Olbermann's alone, he's not. Consider how many of so-called, you know, college students out there being pro-Hamas and anti-Israel. All of a sudden, where'd they come from? Well, we know they've been indoctrinated. So it's not just isolated a few nut jobs like we used to always have or we will always have. These folks are representing a greater number, a greater percentage of the population. As time moves forward, unfortunately. Yep. Not good. You know who else was saying very similar things? The Hildebeest. Yep. So you got John Kerry, the Hildebeest. You got people like Olbermann.
Yep.
Yeah. Watch how they'll try to be as slick as they can, though, to take away freedom of speech. They would never run on a platform of abolishing free speech. Because they'd never win. They'd never get elected.
They seem to not like most of our amendments, these people.
They win through deceiving and through deception. You know, like Satan.
Satan?
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
928 on the Bob Rose Show. We're about 15 minutes away from things that make you smile. Even in the midst of a Cat 4, we can do that. We will do that on 97.3, The Sky. I don't know about you. I'm officially over it.
Are you allowed to opt out? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah,
huh.
I'm going to live off the grid.
Yeah, well.
In my own mind.
You get enough wind, you'll be off the grid, all right, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm
going to
be off the grid. Yeah,
no
be
electric,
careful. You might be off the grid, buddy.
No water. No, that's right.
It is, yeah, I wouldn't last very long.
No.
It is 9:35, and thank you for supporting what we do. The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We will be here tomorrow morning, good Lord willing. We've got the backup generators and everything in place, and you know, unless the tower falls down, which I don't say kiddingly, I mean, you know,
anything
could happen.
Yep.
We will be here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be here. Yeah. I had a chainsaw ready to roll.
There you go.
I'm actually mounting it on the front grill of my my big Ram
that's
truck.
Like the, that's kind of like the Mach 5. It had those when it needed to get through woods. Remember, it had two chainsaws that would come out from under the front bumper. Yeah.
Was that Go Speed Racer?
Yes, it
go
was.
Go Speed Racer.
Some great memories there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway,
I like it.
We will be here starting at 6 a.m., which might be around the time makes landfall. Anywhere from, say, 1 a.m. to 6 a.m., Sarasota County seems to be the target. These things could change. But in case you haven't heard, it's been downgraded slightly a couple hours ago to a Cat 4, but still 155-mile-an-hour sustained winds moving northeast at 16 miles an hour. You'll get a lot of surge coming inland. To the south of this storm, you're going to get a lot of flooding and rain to the north of this storm. In fact, getting reports now, river flooding concerns in on the St. John's River and other rivers, Putnam County, Palatka area, also eastern Marion County. They have concerns there. Okay, these are things that I want you to be aware of. Okay, and let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Sam, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. I just spotted a notice online that gives me an indication of how serious it's getting down south. Down in Cape Coral, the Waffle House is closed.
No.
Wow.
That's just, you nailed it there, Sam.
Well, yep. I mean, I'm sure he knows, Cape Coral is like an island. It is.
Yeah.
And, it can... when you start getting a surge in there, you don't play around. Mm-hmm. There's not much of a barrier to protect that area. That's just off the coast of Fort Myers, for anybody who doesn't know. And I remember when Cape Coral, man, they mowed that thing down.
Oh, yeah?
They literally mowed it down. you know, and build houses on it. Yeah. And for years, they used to have these bumper stickers, Cape Coral sucks.
Wow.
And I had a job where I would deliver electrical supplies, and that was one of the areas on my route, you know, when I was in high school. In, there wasn't any trees. I mean, this is a 1979, 1980. There weren't any trees more than 20 feet tall. I mean, that's how much they mowed it down. I mean, they mowed it down.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure they're, you know, the trees have matured. I'm sure it's a great place. In fact, I had a friend. I never got to see her place, but I know she had a really nice place on the water there. So, yeah. Yeah. I didn't say it. Cape Coral sucks. It was a sticker. It was years ago. Chillax, my friends, that may be listening on the app, maybe streaming thesky973.com, maybe listening to the podcast, which you can get anywhere where you get your podcast. Just click on subscribe. The Trump campaign has called 60 Minutes and said, hey, yo, we would like to look at all the footage with that interview with who could be, well, possibly the next president of the United States.
Oh, my.
I don't know what duty, if any, 60 Minutes has to give them any of that footage.
I don't think they even expected it. I think they wanted to be able to say,
bring attention to it.
Hey, everybody, another network, kissing up to Kamala, cutting all the bad stuff out, doing everything they can to make her sound good.
Well, if that was their idea of making her sound good,
well,
she must have bombed.
That's the point, you know, kind
of. And they, you know, part of that interview, I thought was actually pretty well done. I mean,
oh yeah,
the interviewer, he made every attempt.
I agree.
He made every attempt to, you know, come back to the question, like answer the question, you know. He eventually had to give up and move on. But I don't know.
The fact that he even didn't let her just escape, you know, with a bad answer. The fact that he even followed up is better than every other liberal network journalist has done up to this point.
Look, a lot that ends up on the editing floor is just unnecessary word salad, whether it's Kamala or someone else. With Kamala, it's a big pile. With others, it might be less. But here's the concern. Yeah. It was when you edit and it actually changes the answer. When it actually omits something that could be an important part that helps to give context to the answer. And the one area where I believe they had some concerns, and probably legitimate ones, had to do with a question about the relationship with the current administration and Bibi Netanyahu specifically. And she tap danced around that and basically said, you know, we have a great relationship between, you know, our people and the people of Israel. She really...
That's not the answer to the
question.
It's
a terrible answer. But yeah. I think she said other things and probably got herself pushed into a corner. Mm-hmm. And that, they kind of let her off the hook by, I believe, editing that out. That's the thought, the theory. And I think there probably is validity to that thought. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines this time. Peasant with a pitchfork. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. I hope everybody stays safe today and tomorrow, but I saw that interview with Kamala, and I thought the CBS, I think it was CBS, did a pretty good job. I thought he did a pretty good job pinning her down and holding her feet to the fire. I was very surprised about that. And also, I want to say what makes me smile is we're getting some rain, and that commercial that Trump's doing for Amendment 3, that makes me smile. I can't say it on what makes you smile because I think it's political, but
oh, okay.
So he snuck it in early.
That's snuck it in early.
He knew what he was doing. Yeah. He knows how it works.
No worries. And that's fine that you brought it up because I stood corrected on that. I didn't think he actually completely came out and endorsed this recreational weed thing in Florida. I thought he was, it was an off-the-cuff kind of remark talking about some of these things in general. Well, I was wrong. He did come out, I don't know, less than a month ago, I think, or around a month ago.
Yeah, about that.
And specifically said, apparently, that that he does support, he is voting for it. You know, he's a Florida citizen. Here's what do you hope for? What's the best outcome here? You allow people some freedom, that's not a bad thing,
right,
to make their own choices.
Okay.
But here we have another type of mind-altering substance, intoxicant, that, you know, is just going to be the source of maybe more problems. If you didn't have medical marijuana and the way it's so easy to get a card now,
mm-hmm,
then I might look at it a little bit more favorably.
Right.
But the fact that it is so easily available legally, mm-hmm, now, I'm not sure. And then when you hear that, oh, now this is going to benefit a couple of big one or two, you know, billionaire type companies.
Yep.
It's not going to be mom and pop operations. If this was grassroots, ha ha, pun intended.
Wow.
If it was grassroots, they would do like in Michigan. You had the ability to grow your own. They limited to a certain amount of plants, but for personal consumption,
you could,
like Fleetwood Mac used to sing, you can grow your own way. You can grow your own weed. Remember that one?
Yeah, sounds something like that. Yeah.
You can grow your own weed.
It's close.
Okay, that's what we used to sing when...
I'll bet you did.
We made up all the lyrics.
But you're absolutely right. It's going to be benefiting probably one major company, and it... Just like everything else they say, oh, well, they try on this one. It's going to get the fentanyl-laced, you know, pot off the street. No, it doesn't. Everybody's not going to be buying it legal. They will still get it from the dude down the street for whatever cut price he can give it to them. It doesn't take the bad away just because you replace it or try to add something to it.
Look, they chased the moonshiners all over, including in Florida.
Exactly.
Who was chasing them? They were known as the revenuers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They weren't trying to keep people sober.
No.
They just wanted to collect the revenue that, mm-hmm, you know, Uncle Sam or whoever,
yep,
wanted their cut.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there'll be a mechanism where if a couple of big companies are going to have a major control over this, will it morph and change a little bit and open the door for, just like beer,
mm-hmm,
you have these smaller, you know, mom,
right,
and pop breweries.
Right, like microbrewery.
Yeah, that can pop up. Will they have something similar, you know, in the weed industry? That way you do have the mom and pop entrepreneur,
sure,
type effect, and the government can still get their, you know, slice of your hide.
But going back to the part about the whole recreational part, I mean, look how it is now. And I don't know what other towns around here in particular are maybe as bad or worse. Drive around Gainesville. I mean, we think of it as an old hippie place anyway. My goodness. When I had my convertible and I'd drive around Gainesville with the top down, man, I was driving high and I don't even do this stuff. It's kind of like it's already everywhere and now we're going to encourage it for recreational use. Exactly.
Dude, man, why do you hate recreation, man?
Oh, I love recreation.
Now, why do you hate recreation?
Recreation's good for you. Driving high, eh, not so much.
No.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Although, I don't think people drive as aggressively as they do if they're fueled by a little bit of alcohol.
Well, it's not like, aggressive, but it's still a little inattentive.
Yeah, inattentive. What's the other words I'm looking for?
Focused. Hello? I don't know.
I mean, look, it's a gateway. It's a gateway drug
sure
that clearly takes you right to Twinkies and,
uh-huh,
Ho-Hos, Doritos.
Cheetos.
I mean, it is the gateway.
Cheetos.
And how are you going to get those,
yeah,
foodstuffs? You got to drive to the store in most,
uh-huh,
cases.
See, it is a big problem.
Yeah.
But it probably will help the snack industry. That's who's going to benefit. I'll bet they're the ones pushing this bill. It's the snack industry.
It's always follow the money, Greg.
It is.
That we have determined quite some time ago.
We solved who's... We didn't even know who's behind it. Now we know.
Yeah.
It's Hostess. And those other companies.
Everything that has an effect on your mind and body and you can feel it. You know, uh-huh, like the old, this pill makes you smaller. And this, you remember that one? And the pills that mother gives you, St.
Yeah.
Joseph baby aspirin,
uh-huh,
don't do anything at all. So if you get an effect from it, meaning you get a buzz,
uh-huh,
then you also have a side effect.
Correct.
Or effects. And I think there's a lot more people that now that like marijuana's mainstream, I think you're finding out that it is absolutely not the drug of choice for some people that may have some underlying psychotic type thoughts, but they haven't surfaced. But the weed, I believe, is one of those things on certain people, it can bring that out, a form of psychosis or psychotic behavior. That's just me, though. All right. You want to talk weed, man? Diane, you're on the air.
I just have a comment about legalizing marijuana.
I used
to think it should be. I have a friend who grows the medical marijuana. He sent me some. This stuff is so potent. There is no way I would vote yes.
It's what we call pharmaceutical grade, man. Yes, it is much, much stronger than back in the day. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, that lady's absolutely right. I am worried about a government that wants us all not to just be high, but blown out of our minds. The Chinese never had a choice for their government. We have a choice. Freedom is on the ballot, not democracy. Freedom. But
I cut you off.
They want you to vote.
Yeah.
So get out there. Yeah.
9:49 on the Bob Rose Show. We've got things that make you smile. Not stone. Smile.
Big difference.
Things that make you smile. Brought to you by Robin Larson Dental is coming up next. Call in now, please. 877-975-9825. Taking a little break from doom and gloom and looking for things that make you smile, because we do have a lot to be thankful for. That's the essence of this little segment, brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call now, 877-975-9825. Good morning, Kaz. What's making you smile?
Good morning, gentlemen over there, Bob and team. Your guests were awesome. Everybody you had on today, I'm so excited. I learned a lot. I'm very prepared with my five cats. It's raining now. I learned a lot. And also, Semper Fi to all those Marines out there. And I love you guys, and I'll be praying for you.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's our awesome team, Greg, that that helps to condition these guests that make them so good. His little 30-second course in can get to your point. No, we don't have to use that with most of our guests. I agree. They're all fantastic. We're very blessed. We got good people that join us on the air on a regular basis. People in positions of, they know what's going on. Let's go to Benjamin. What's making you smile?
Yes, sir. What's making me smile is hearing all of the neighbors coming together after with these hurricanes, helping each other in all different ways. And it reminded me of the Tracy Lawrence song, You Find Out Who Your Friends Are. So that's what's making me smile.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, whatever brings people together, you know, looking for the silver lining. Good morning, Ralph. What's making you smile?
Well, some people may not like this, but, you know, that storm is going south. I feel sorry for those people in St. Pete and Naples, but I'm sure smiling because we're not going to get the blunt of it up here.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a tough one for those folks. Good morning, Sherry. What's making you smile?
Good morning. I've spent the last probably 3 days just all stressed and freaking out, trying to get people out here to fix things and so on and so on. This morning, I woke up real early, like about 2:00, and just sat here on the porch and thinking about it and thinking, come on, you got to chill out.
Yeah, you're right. Let the anxiousness go and get ready for the smoking gun. Coming up next, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
Here's what's trending now on the Sky.
Hurricane Helene leaving millions without power.
A 500-mile path of destruction.
The news that's trending.
This storm literally spared no one.
We know how important it is to get the power back on.
The news that's now.
Port workers from Maine to Texas.
Walk off the job.
The White House did not step in.
The news station.
Drug dealers, human traffickers, and murderers. Welcome to America.
I'm a knucklehead at times.
The local coverage you need. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Time now for the smoking gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Candidate Kamala Harris on the show The View for a softball interview. And so you were working closely with the president for 4 years. What's the biggest difference between you two? Oh, well, we have a lot of shared life experience, and, you know, nothing comes to mind that I would do differently, and I signed off on some of the biggest, most important pieces of legislation. Yeah. But the whole time during her campaign, she's been trying to separate herself, but she keeps getting reeled back in. So, is she Biden 2.0 or not? And that's your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. Stay safe. God bless. See ya.